What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Dubs, back in action tonight after the day off. Actually, the whole NBA had the day off. I'm glad it's back. Taking on the Pelicans tonight. Expect some players to rest tonight and tomorrow night. Sean Livingston talks about his future, and apparently Draymond Green is overrated. That's news to me. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? As I mentioned, Dubs taking on the Pelicans tonight. NBA basketball is back after an evening of NCAA basketball. It actually turned out all right. It started off terrible. I mean, like, really bad. And then the game got better, at least. I'll put it that way. OT, shout out Virginia, getting the W. One thing I will say, if you don't follow the draft and things like that as closely as I do this early, as I do, Ty Jerome of Virginia is a guy who's been linked to the Warriors in certain mock drafts. Things can change drastically between now and the actual draft, between workouts and the combine and things like that. But he's a guy who might be in the Warriors' range this upcoming draft. So I've enjoyed watching him this year, and played well in the national championship game. He's an intriguing player. So just wanted to throw that out there if you did watch, and, you know, if you're not locked into the draft already. I'm a total draft nerd. Like, I'll be locked into next year's draft as soon as this year's draft's over. But that's neither here nor there. The Dubs are taking on the Pelicans tonight in New Orleans, so to speak. It's the proper pronunciation, New Orleans. I think we all know Anthony Davis. I mean, I don't think he's going to play, right? He doesn't play for them anymore. Most of the drama revolves around Anthony Davis. Like, it's just another basketball game. Pelicans are playing out the string. And the Dubs are not playing for much right now besides just, you know, getting ready tune-ups for the playoffs, I guess you could say. Practice games for the playoffs, basically. And so that's what tonight will be in New Orleans. And, you know, I don't have too much on this one because it's the Pelicans. Their season's been done ever since all the trade rumors. And, yeah, as far as tonight's game goes, Andrew Bogut and Andre Iguodala are both going to be out tonight getting some rest. Andre, you can call it rest, but, you know, he's been out for a handful of games now, so it's a little more than rest. There is something nagging him, so hopefully he can get better by the time the playoffs start, which is this weekend. And I'm sure he will be fine. I'm sure if it was the playoffs already, he'd be playing. As far as the Pelicans are concerned, everyone's out. No, Anthony Davis, Darius Miller, Frank Jackson, Stanley Johnson, and then Julius Randle is day-to-day. But those first four are out. I mean, even with Bogut and Iguodala sitting out, should be a pretty easy win. I mean, we've seen the Warriors also not show up to certain games. So it could be one of those situations, but I doubt it, especially considering it's only Bogut and Iguodala sitting out. Kind of thought that more players would be sitting out, but that'll happen tomorrow night against Memphis in the last game of the season, which I imagine literally no one's going to be playing. I'd be surprised if any of the five starters played. Boogie's definitely not going to. Steph, KD, Clay, Draymond, I don't see why you'd even have them suit up. I think you're going, you know, eight-man skeleton crew of the bench and two-way players. So nine-man, I guess. But, I mean, let's count it out. Steph, KD, Draymond, Clay, Boogie, all sitting out. Sean, Andre, Bogut, sitting out. So then we'll go with Quinn, McKinney, Damian Lee, Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, Marcus Derrickson, Jacob Evans. Who else? I'm missing some. Jordan Bell. Did I throw Jordan Bell in there already? That's basically what I'm getting at. I wouldn't be surprised if eight players are sitting out and it's just the backup crew, which will be interesting to watch for one night. Maybe Jacob Evans has a good game. That'd be cool to see. Man, well, you know what the good news is with the playoffs starting? We're going to start seeing Jacob Evans play more because he's a 16-game player, right? They didn't want an 82-game player. They got themselves a 16-game player in Jacob Evans. I can't let that go. I'm sorry. And in hindsight, looking at Bob Myers drafting over the last 4 years, hasn't been good. Hasn't been good. So you've heard me harp on it already. But in something that should be really important for this team moving forward, or just the last 4 years, it was important. You know, hasn't been great. Kevon Looney's definitely the best out of all his draft picks over this time of the dynasty. And I'm just going all over the place now, man. I started out with tonight's game, and now I'm talking about Bob Myers' draft picks and who's sitting out tomorrow night. So that probably means it's time for a break as I just go take a million left turns and not make any sense. I got some topics I do want to get to, though. Sean Livingston spoke about his future in the game, his future in the NBA, and potential retirement, which was interesting. It's a great article on The Athletic. I would suggest you all go check it out. And also on The Athletic, there was a player poll taken, and they were asked about who's overrated and a number of other topics. And apparently Draymond's overrated, which, like I said before, is news to me. So we're going to talk about all that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. What's good? Dubs taking on the Pelicans tonight, which, you know, it's not as nostalgic as, I don't know, the Cleveland matchup a couple nights ago, where it's like, oh, this used to be a big rivalry. But we're seeing the end of an era might be too strong, the end of couple-year run with Anthony Davis there. You know, there's good memories for the Warriors. That sweep they had against him in, was it 16, 17? I forget, where Steph, you know, hits that last second three to send it to overtime, and Anthony Davis crashes into him. Like, those are good memories. So it's too bad that the Pelicans are going down a path that is not going to be great. But, you know, oh well, it happens. But good memories as far as the Warriors and Pelicans are concerned. One thing I wanted to get to, there was an article that came out recently about Sean Livingston and his future in the NBA. And not just the Warriors, and it's good article. I suggest you all go check it out. He had a sit-down, I think, with Anthony Slater of The Athletic. I feel like just I'm a friggin' pitch man for The Athletic because it is great. And I do think you all should subscribe, but I don't get paid by them. You know, all this plugging I'm doing, they better, you know, float a free subscription my way or something. But Anthony Slater had a sit-down with Sean Livingston, and he just talked about his future in the NBA, and it was interesting because they talked about the maintenance it takes for him to get ready to play, and just how much more it is than it was when he was 20, and just how much harder it is. And one of the questions asked was, you know, did you feel it this year when thinking about retirement? Like, when did it really set in? And he said training camp, which was a surprise. He's not announcing anything. He's not saying one way or another what's going to happen, but he's just talking about the fact that it's real and there is a chance that he could retire. Like, it's on his mind. It's very possible. And regardless of what he decides, I've tweeted out numerous times that I'm never happier for anyone than I am Sean Livingston when the Warriors win. His story, his who he is, how he's persevered through the injuries and the, you know, riding the bench and just to get where he is. I mean, it's a great, it's movie quality. You can pitch it in Hollywood and they'd be like, no, this would never happen. So whatever he decides, shout out to him, one of my faves. But as far as the Warriors are concerned and the business side of this, he has $2 million guaranteed next year out of the $8 million. And there's a date where it all becomes guaranteed. I think it's June 30th or July 1st or something like that, where the whole $8 million becomes guaranteed. I will say this. I think if the Warriors or any other team will guarantee that $8 million, I do think he plays next year. Again, whether it's with the Warriors or someone else. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, this is where it comes into play, is he is their most tradable contract, so to speak, because of the way the CBA is written. The rules are, when you're over the luxury tax or over the tax or whatever, just basically the position that the Warriors are in with the salary cap, is they can only trade for another player if they match salary. So they can't just trade a first-round pick for, you know, whoever. They can't just trade a first-round pick for Lou Williams, you know, just picking a random name. Obviously, they would never be able to get Lou Williams. They would have to match his salary, which I think is around $7 or $8 million, with salaries equaling $7 or $8 million. So that would be Sean Livingston. You can't just trade, unless you have the salary cap space to take it on, you can't just move, you know, you can't trade Jacob Evans, whose salary is, you know, 1.5, for someone who's making $6 million. So as far as that's concerned, it would be somewhat of a hit for the Warriors. But this is all looking way, way too far ahead. And we'll see what happens with him, with the Warriors, what they decide to do. But the bottom line is he is guaranteed $2 million out of that $8 million, regardless of what happens. So if he does decide it's time to retire, it's a nice little retirement gift. If not, if they can find a team that will guarantee the rest of that salary for the entire year, I do think he would stick around. Or if the Warriors just decide, hey, you're a valuable part of this franchise, this dynasty, we want you to stick around, then I do think he sticks around. But the human aspect and the career aspect is beautiful, and Sean's one of my favorites. The business aspect of it for the Warriors would probably be a hit. It would probably be a hit as far as not being able to get anything in return for Sean Livingston's contract or anything like that. So just a future thought here from myself. But it doesn't matter because we got like 3 months of playoffs coming up and Sean's going to be valuable throughout all that. So yeah, I'm definitely looking ahead, a little too far ahead, but that article definitely got me thinking. Another article that came out on The Athletic that I have mixed feelings towards was a somewhat extensive player poll. I mean, I guess it was extensive. There was something about 140 players polled and answering questions, and they had some thoughts. They definitely had some thoughts. So it was actually 127 players overall, which is more than a quarter of the association's workforce, the way they put it. And not every player answered every question, but you got a good amount of votes and answers for all these questions. And so I would suggest you all go check it out. Some of them were, who's MVP? Who's the best defender? Best ball handler? You know, who are you building a roster from scratch? Who are you signing first? Blah, 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 blah. And here's the funny thing. Well, there was also most overrated, and we're definitely going to get to that. Most underrated as well. But the funny thing is, first off, love Sam Amick, one of the best, but he says anonymous player polls are simply the best. I would disagree because, and here's why. Here's why. The question, who's the best defender? And you get a lot of different answers, and that's fine. Draymond Green isn't in there until the seventh best defender, and this is out of 114 votes. And here's my problem with it. You get Giannis Antetokounmpo, Draymond Green, and Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn's a good defender, but that vote probably came from a teammate of his. probably came from the guy who has to play him in practice every day. At eighth, Klay Thompson, Torrey Craig, Mikal Bridges, and Marcus Smart. I'm sorry, Klay Thompson and Marcus Smart are a f-load better than Torrey Craig and Mikal Bridges. So that's part of my problem with it. And again, this has nothing to do with Sam Amick, the author. It's a fun idea, but I just have my problems with the idea of anonymous player pool. And the fact is anonymous. I mean, that's the only way you can get players to do it, though. No one's going to put their name on this stuff. Best ball handler, Kyrie Irving gets 77% of the 127 votes. Steph Curry was second at 7.4. But then we get names at sixth, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dion Waiters. Like, that's my problem with these anonymous things, because you get random players voting for random guys. It's like the All-Star vote when someone picks the 14th man on his team because they like him. So that's my problem. I mean, I could keep going. There's answers like that in every single one. But I wanted to get to the who's the most overrated. And there was only 47 votes. And Draymond Green and Russell Westbrook tied for first at 17%. Number two was Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, and Karl Anthony Towns. That's pretty funny because, as you know, they were all teammates on the Wolves at one point. Third, there was James Harden, Ben Simmons, LeBron James, Kyle Lowry. Fourth, Semi Ojeleye, for sure. Kyrie Irving, Brooke Lopez, Miles Turner, Hassan Whiteside, John Collins, Lonzo Ball, CJ McCollum, Nikola Jokic, DeMarcus Cousins, Paul Millsap, Klay Thompson, Jason Tatum. The problem with the anonymous player poll that I've already talked about, of just who's actually voting and voting for their teammates, etc., is clear. But as far as overrated goes, first off, that's stupid. Russell Westbrook and Draymond Green are two of the best players in the NBA. But overrated is completely subjective, because there is no rating that shows that there's no rating we're all universally going off of. So it depends where you think they're rated, and is that overrated or underrated? So, someone telling me Westbrook is the best player in the NBA, yeah, I'd say he's overrated. Someone telling me he's a top 15, 20 player, yeah, that's right. That's probably right. Draymond Green, telling me he's, the most valuable player on this Warriors team, probably overrated. Telling me that what he does is very valuable and a different type of player, and that probably puts him in the top 30 in the NBA, yeah, that's probably right. So it's just completely subjective, because there's no definitive rating for these guys. So it's a weird one, but Steph actually had a response to that, because it's pretty dumb, first off. And Steph actually said, who are these 109 players? Can't be anyone that's actually touched the floor and been in front of those two. Good luck. Followed by the clown face emoji. And, I mean, it's a good way to put it. Because I don't know. Again, it's objective. We don't know where people think these players are ranked. So if they're going off of thinking that Draymond is the best player in the game or Russell Westbrook's the best player in the game, yeah, they're probably overrated. But we don't know where they're ranked, so it doesn't really matter. I do have to break it to Steph. It was only 47 NBA players who weighed in on most overrated. So, yeah. But you'll be happy to know that Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins and Andrew Bogut all got voted in the DeMarcus Cousins was seventh, Bogut and Green tied for eighth in the player you don't want to fight, or just the toughest, but I'll go with player you don't want to fight. That was the main caption. Also, Steve Kerr was voted third as a coach aside from your own that you would want to play for. It went Popovich, Brad Stevens, Steve Kerr. And then also Warriors were picked to win the title. And my favorite, who talks the most trash? Draymond Green, by a wide margin, 33.7% of the vote. And that's just going to lead me to playing one of my favorite clips of all time, an ESPN piece on Draymond Green talking trash and actually kind of ruining Paul Pierce to the point that he's trying to compare his career to Dwayne Wade. So we're going to go out on that note, take a break, come back. But first, the GOAT of trash talk, Draymond Green.
In the opening minute, Green fouls the Clippers' Blake Griffin and starts hearing chatter from LA's Paul Pierce on the bench.
I'm not even preparing to say a word to Paul Pierce. And then he starts talking from the gate. BG, he can't guard you. He can't guard you, BG. He too little. And so now I'm over hype.
And for Green, hype has a tone. And the tone is trash talk.
Chasing that farewell tour, they don't love you like that. You can't get no farewell tour, they don't love you like that. BG got that type of love. You thought you was Kobe?
You're not Kobe. Why are you talking? The one thing about trash talk is it just happened. Boom, you say something, boom, it's right there. I think it was amazing. It also shut him right up.
If you're going to come at him and start something with him, you better be able to take it because he's going to come right back at you.
Trash talk is an art. I love talking trash. That's how I grew up in Saginaw.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Real quick, that clip I played, I think, is the most cutting, just best trash talk caught on an open mic. I mean, maybe even just not even just caught on an open mic, but just ever. It was so good. So good. And so vicious. Just pretty much cut down a guy's entire career in about 20 seconds. Which, shout out Paul Pierce, he had a great career, but man, Draymond just, whew. One of my favorite all-time moments of Draymond's career. And, you know, this whole dynasty run. Which, by the way, they beat the Clippers the other night and are hoping to play them in the first round for a number of different reasons. I still really enjoy beating the Clippers. I think part of it is that Doc's still there and Doc's really annoying. Great coach. Honestly, I could not give him more credit for the coaching job he's done this year. He's done an amazing job, but he's still annoying and I still like beating him. So anyways, league pass picks for tonight. Warriors are taking on the Pelicans. Not really a big one. I'll definitely go with the one that matters tonight, and it's only just one because the rest of them will be played tomorrow night, but it's Rockets-Thunder. As we look at that eighth seed, I think we should all be pulling for for the Thunder. Again, not that any of them spell doom for the Warriors. If they play the Thunder, they'll go there and they'll beat them, and it's fine. But just don't want to deal with the situation in OKC and Kevin Durant. So we should be pulling for the Thunder tonight against the Rockets, because if they keep winning, they won't be the eighth seed. And the Spurs and Clippers don't play till tomorrow night. The Spurs will be taking on the Mavs, which, you know, not a tough opponent, really. And the Clippers are taking on the Jazz. And then OKC will be taking on the Bucks tomorrow night. But as far as tonight goes, like I said, it is Rockets, Thunder, and we're all pulling for the Thunder. And then for a second game, geez, I don't know. It's tough because most of the seeding has been decided in both conferences. And so, you know what? We'll go 76ers Heat. I'll go with the nostalgia and the emotion. Dwayne Wade's last home game. Beautiful career. I'm sure you guys have seen the commercial that they put out on Twitter of Dwayne Wade. If you haven't, go check it out. It's a Budweiser commercial, which makes it kind of weird at the end, but definitely check it out. It's definitely heartfelt and heart-wrenching, and I'm going to sap, and I love that stuff. So go peep that. So we'll go 76ers Heat and Rockets Thunder, and we're all pulling for the Thunder. Or not. Who cares? Warriors are going to win anyways. Come back tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.